But the question remains, no national redemption, no personal Messiah. So what do we have? And what makes us unique within the family of nations that allows us to preserve our own integrity as Jews? Remember, the classic position of the insider, we've used that word several times, the person that believes that he wants to preserve Judaism in some form or shape, but understands that it needs to be reformed and reformulated to meet the needs of his or her own day, has to not only show it's consonant with the best of Western culture, he has to show that Judaism somehow leads, somehow provides something unique to Western culture to justify the integrity of its being preserved, intact. And here is the answer that Geiger and his colleagues give. In a pre-Messianic age, it is the mission of the Jews to disseminate the moral teachings of Judaism to the rest of the world, not by actually converting them, but by sharing the moral doctrines of Judaism which Jews received in its most pure and pristine form. In other words, it is the function of this Jewish minority among the nations of the world to teach, to inculcate, to provide by example a moral way of life. Not that their morality is unique and better, but that somehow its longevity, the pure form in which it was preserved, suggests indeed that Jews have something to give, to contribute to the world. The role of the Jew is to lead the nations of the world to a messianic era. The messianic era is not arrived at through some kind of supernatural intervention of a personal Messiah. Rather, it comes about by every individual picking up his hands, contributing to the social welfare of society, going to the ghettos, not just Jewish ghettos, but areas of depravity and poverty and so on, and somehow making the world better. What is interesting, which becomes the badge of honor of Reformed Jews, is their commitment to social action. Notice that in America, the first social action center of all of the branches of Judaism was founded in Washington by Reformed Jews, the Social Action Center of Reformed Judaism. Its commitment to liberal causes, its commitment to liberal issues, its commitment to the separation of church and state, all of these issues defined the very nature of Judaism. If ceremonial law was to be given up, then in its place would come a strong emphasis upon morality, ethics, and social action. And this would ultimately lead to a messianic era and the transformation of the world into a better place. The mission of Israel, therefore, is the idea that Jews can contribute their moral power, their spiritual power, to transform the entire world and thus lead us to a messianic era, not through supernatural agency, but through the agency of human beings working to make a better world. Now that, more or less, in capsule summary, is Reform Judaism. What remains to ask is, what is the legacy of Reform? And we will try to begin to answer that question right now and in our subsequent lectures, because eventually I want to compare Reform and conservative and Orthodox Judaism more precisely. Clearly, despite the remarkable scholarship of Abraham Geiger, as we said earlier, to justify historically Reform as he did was highly contested and challenged by other scholars. Is it so clear that Pharisees and Reform Jews are exactly the same? Pharisees clearly interpreted the law with the notion that God wrote it. They didn't just humanly decide what they wanted to do and change everything. Reformed Jews take the liberty, on the basis of their own moral conscience, as we said, to do whatever they want. That clearly is a very big difference between the Pharisees of ancient times and the Reformed Jews of the 19th century. Clearly, the view of Geiger was challenged by such people as Samson Raphael Hirsch, who you'll hear about very, very shortly, and by other conservative scholars, Zacharias Frankel, and certainly by Christians. What is quite unbelievable is the response that Geiger got by arguing that you got to be a Jew to understand Jesus. The Christians obviously didn't like that, and they fought back, and they tried to put this Jew in his place. And thus it created a wonderful and a very, very exciting controversy in the context of the 19th century. Using scholarship for ideological purposes, of course, is problematic from the start. And clearly Geiger knew what he was doing, but nevertheless, his concern was not simply dry scholarship, as we said, it was to create a different understanding of Judaism and a different theory of how to live as contemporary Jews. What I would like now to do as I turn to later Reform Judaism and the subsequent opponents of Geiger is to suggest also the following. That Reform Judaism in America transformed itself considerably. In other words, for you to think that this is Reform Judaism as it exists today would be inappropriate. So I hope that in our next lecture, we will also consider the question, what was the legacy of Geiger and his principles as they invaded, as his ideas invaded the American continent and needed to adjust even more so to the conditions of American Jewish life?